I'm not going to be talking very long this morning, so I will need somebody to go get the when it comes time for baptism service, because a few of our kids are being baptized as well. But I did want to share with you, I had some things on my heart about it. You remember not long ago we talked about communion and how communion isn't always exactly what we think about, like just this little symbolic thing that we do. But it's actually much more powerful than that. And it's the same way with baptism. And I felt that I was to share just a little bit on baptism with you. Really, the first time you see the word baptism is with John the Baptist. But before that, in the Old Testament, there were ceremonies and things that they did for cleansing and purification that kind of would set the backdrop for what we now know as baptism. Okay? They practiced the Jews practiced traditional ceremonies, acts of purification. They used a cleansing pool. The priests were commanded to perform symbolic cleansing in water after their duties. Also, when you converted to Judaism, you went through a cleansing process as well. These weren't really baptisms, okay? But Scripture highlights the importance of them consecrating themselves, cleansing themselves, separating themselves unto the Lord in a cleansing process, okay? Now, we've talked about this before, the mikvah. The mikvah is a pool for cleansing. We think of it like a baptism pool, but it's a pool that couples who were going to get married would go through. And what they would do is they would step down into this pool with the priest separately, and then they would come back up the other side. And what you were doing is you were separating yourself. You were cleansing yourself from your past, from every other person you had loved or whatever. And you were washing and having yourself cleansed before God and before the priest as someone who was separated unto this one man that I now love and am going to marry, or this one woman that I now love and I'm going to marry. And so it was a cleansing from who I used to be and unto who I'm going to be in marrying this person. Now, John the Baptist came in. We called him the Baptist. He came in preaching in Matthew 3, repent, turn from the way you think, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then verses 5 and 6, it says, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now, baptism, the actual word, means to immerse. It is an old Greek word that's used to dye cloth or threads. And what you would do is you would dip the cloth or the threads down into the dye and mixture, whatever it was you were dipping it into. And what would happen is it would take on the qualities of what you were dipping it into. It would take on the qualities of that color and of that dye, whatever it was immersed in. Now, in the Old Testament, the cleansing pool was to let go of the old and take on the quality of clean, pure water. That was used symbolically. John's baptism, however, was to confess and release their sin, their past, and it was to turn or repent and turn from that way and turn unto the Lord. When they would go down in that water, it was a washing away and cleansing of their sin, okay? Now, in Mark 1, verse 4, John came baptizing and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission or the cleansing of sin. So that was John the Baptist's baptism. It was acknowledging. That's why it says a lot of things that write about this say it's probably why none of the Pharisees, none of the religious rulers wanted to be baptized by John, because it's like, oh, we don't have sin in our life. They didn't want to acknowledge that. And who are you to baptize me? You know, just that attitude about it. And but it was a place of repent, turn from the way you've been going and be baptized in the name of Jesus, be cleansed from your old way and your old way of thinking. Then when Jesus came in on the scene, he actually came in at that Sermon on the Mount and preached, here's what the kingdom looks like. Here are the characteristics of the kingdom of heaven. You know, John came in preaching, repent, for the kingdom's at hand. Jesus comes in saying, and here's what the kingdom looks like. Here's how it looks. Now, after Jesus died on the cross, was raised from the dead, and ascended to the Father, 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on those 120 in that upper room, on that same day, Peter preached a major sermon. He came out of that upper room a completely different man, and he preached. I want to turn there in Acts chapter 2. I'll tell you, if you read this, Peter did not hold back, not at all. He laid right into him. He said in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, to all you who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then verse 41 says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. That was a baptizing, wasn't it? I bet they went out in the ocean. I bet they had to do that. He's saying, repent. Repent means turn. Change how you think. Change your course of direction. Repent, turn, and be baptized for the remission or the cleansing of your sin. Now, in Romans chapter 4 through chapter 6, up to chapter 6, you see Paul writing the church at Rome, and he is teaching them and talking to them and encouraging them about the grace of God. This wonderful, amazing gift that we are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God, and this powerful free gift of grace that he's bestowed on us. And Paul makes such a great case for grace that he ends up concluding the discourse, so to speak, with this. Chapter 6, verse 1. After all this amazing word about grace, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace can abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or did you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, in that same way, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly, I just made up a whole other word there. Certainly, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we would no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died is free from sin. When you die, you don't sin anymore, do you? When you die in that baptismal pool is what he's talking about. You died with him, okay? And he who's died is free from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives unto God. Likewise, you, in the same way, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's just stop right there. So what happens is when you go into that water, he's telling us, when you go into that water, that old man of sin who you used to be before you made Jesus the Lord of your life, that old man dies with him. The old man who was full of sin died with Jesus in that baptismal pool. And when you are raised up out of that water, you are raised up as a new creation into newness of life in Christ Jesus. It's not just a symbolism. It's a real thing that it matters very much to the Lord. And then it goes on and says, and when sin comes, when temptation comes, we're to answer it with, well, I reckon I'm dead to that. That word reckon, check this out. It's an old word that's used. It means I conclude. I decide. I come to the logical conclusion and I have strong conviction of. What it's saying is, when temptation comes, when sin comes tempting me, I say, I conclude, I decide, because of what he did, I come to the logical conclusion, and I have strong conviction that my old man died with him, and I am now alive in Christ Jesus. I'm not that old dead person anymore. I'm not that person anymore. I am alive in Christ. I'm alive unto God. You know, we have often thought, just like we have with baptism, communion, like it's just this little outward sign of something that took place in your heart. It's just a little outward sign, and it just shows what we did. It's more powerful than a symbolism. It is more powerful than a symbolism. Listen, people who live in other cultures lose their lives if they get baptized. Many other cultures, they lose their lives if they are baptized. We were up in Talaconga one time, had 19 young people, well, and older people, give their hearts to the Lord. But a lot of them had already given their hearts to the Lord. They just didn't understand what real baptism was. And they committed to baptism that day. I had one young lady who was probably somewhere, it's hard to tell their age, but I'll say 19 to 28. Wouldn't you say it, Cook? You can't tell. That looks so young. But this young lady had given her heart to the Lord. And she cried. She said, Pastor, I love the Lord. I gave my heart to the Lord. I can't be baptized. I'm scared. My family will put me out of the house if I'm baptized. They will put me out of the house. In a lot of cultures, you'll be excommunicated from the family or beaten or killed if you are baptized. And that was just, you know, in the last, maybe what, 10 years ago-ish, something like that. So for some, being baptized is great risk because it's more than a symbolism. It's more than that. It shows outwardly and boldly, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that old woman now is dead and gone. And I am now alive unto God in Christ Jesus. I died to who I was, and I now live for him. My old man died, and I'm now a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's a very significant and bold act before God and before other people. In looking at this, it says this, because in baptism, because I died with him, and I'm now alive in him, I am sharing in his death and in his life. I'm actually sharing in it. Are you following that? This is what identifies you with Christ. That right there. That I died with him and now I am alive with him. That's what identifies you with Christ. Most other religions, including Islam, believe that at baptism, you now belong to Christianity. And they say very clearly, with baptism, there is now no point of return. You already did it. You already identified with Christ, with that man Jesus. You already identified with him in dying with him and then being raised up together with him. Persecution soars because identification with Christ is real. It's irrevocable and it is forever. It's forever. Y'all, that's amazing. That is amazing. It is real. It's irrevocable. It is forever. Baptism is the point of no return. Too late, you got baptized. I like that. Too late. This is what baptism is about, church. It's about identifying with Jesus Christ. You know how it talks about how we share in his sufferings, we share in his death, we share in his resurrection? Here you go. This is part of what that's talking about. We're sharing in his death and in his resurrection. It's not just I get down under the water and or anything like that. It's not just a little symbolism of something. It is very, very real. And it matters very much to the Lord. It matters very much to the Lord that we identify with him. Amen? And so, we have some people to be baptized this morning. Before we do that, if somebody will go get them, I'll share a quick little story with you. And you can laugh at me. Huh? Unusual to laugh at me, huh? When I was raised in the church I was raised in, I never was baptized. And then I started going to the Pentecostal church where Shane had been raised. And we got married there and started going there. And I surrendered my heart to the Lord. And Carrie and I were baptized in the pool in the backyard where she lives now. And the funny part that I was going to tell you, though, is my pastor would always say, I believe when you come up out of that water, you're going to come up talking in a new language. And that freaked me out. And I went to my bathroom and I knelt down by my toilet, which is where I would kneel. And I said, Lord, I don't know about all that. I just really don't want to do that. I just want to be baptized, okay? I don't want to be coming up talking in another language. I don't know what it is. I did, and I didn't do it either. He's like, I got you, girl. I know you. But the bottom line is I was concerned because he wanted all of us who were baptized to come up out of that water speaking in tongues, and I was not wanting it. So anyway, I thought you'd get a laugh out of that, a good laugh at my expense.